Well, it is 2018, and people are making the choice about which resolutions they're going to keep, which ones they're going to walk away from. Sometimes we do that on purpose. Sometimes we do that accidentally. We go ahead and we make a choice to start a resolution, and then we get busy and we move on from that resolution. I saw a cartoon earlier in the week. It was a cute cartoon. It was a husband and wife, and they're standing, obviously, in their bathroom, and they're getting ready, and the husband is standing on the scale, and he sucks in his stomach. Now, the wife looks over and busts out in laughter and says, "That's not going to help you lose weight." He said, "I know it doesn't help me lose weight, but it does help me see the numbers." And you know what? Sometimes we need to see where we're at before we can decide exactly where we're going. There's over 200,000 words in the English dictionary, and probably the most powerful one is choice. The choice as to what we're going to start. The choice as to what we're going to do. Let me ask you this question. If you don't make the choice to start 2018 and invest in your health, who will? If you don't make the choice to start and take control of your finances and get them in order according to God's plan, who will? If you don't go ahead and make the choice to start continuing that education or to start building those relationships, to start making the changes in your life that you know need to be made, if you're not going to make that choice and invest in your life, then who will? You see, if we don't start as individuals and make that choice to invest in our life and to make that change, then who's going to do it? If we don't start as individuals and as a church to invest in this place that we call Harmony and to invest in God's kingdom, if we don't start that, if we don't make that choice, then who is going to? You know, there's a lot of things that we can choose to start doing. There's a lot of things that we can put before us and say, man, I'm making the choice to start doing that. Well, today we're kicking off a series entitled Start, but we're not going to talk about starting with New Year's resolutions. We're not going to talk about starting with a list of goals. We're going to talk about something that we're all capable of knowing, doing, and living, and we're going to talk about it today because it impacts every other area of our life. In fact, Peter, who walked with Jesus, who was one of Jesus' close disciples, said, "This is so important." He said, "I would put it above all things." In fact, let's just go ahead and take a look at 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse number 8, because here's what happens in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse number 8. Here's what takes place. Peter says, "And above all things, above all things, above every other goal that you could set for yourself, above every other thing that you could do," here's what he says, "and above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins." Do you know what Peter is telling us in that passage of Scripture? Peter says, love is more important than so many things that we think are important. Why? Because love makes a difference. He says love covers a multitude of sins. Love goes the extra mile and makes the difference when nothing else can make the difference. Let me ask you this. If you don't choose to start to love, then who's going to? You see, this is a choice that no one else can make for you. It's something that no one else can carry out for you or carry out through you. Peter says, all the things that run through our mind, all the things that we want to do, all the things that we want to accomplish, all the places that we want to go, all the things that we would like to see happen, all the things that we would like to get organized, Peter said, you know what? This trumps all of them. This is more important than all of them. He says, above all things, have fervent love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins. Do you know what he says? Love protects. Love goes above and beyond. Love forgives. Love makes up that difference. Well, Peter wrote that, but long before Peter wrote it, here's what Jesus had to say in Matthew chapter 22. In Matthew chapter 22, let's just go ahead and take a look at this. Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." Then we continue It says, this is the first and great commandment. He said, and the second is like to it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Think about this truth for just a moment. Peter wrote it, and he said, above all things, have a fervent love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins. Somebody asked Jesus, Jesus, what's the most important thing? What's the most important commandment? What should we set our sights on? What should we live our life around? What should be the foundation? And Jesus said, here it is. Here's the first and greatest commandment. It's to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And he said, the second is like unto it. He said, the second is like unto it, because this is what it allows you to do. It allows you to go ahead and love your neighbor as yourself. But then in verse number 39, he says, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And then he says this in verse number 40, on this, it's fulfilled. He says, love God with all your heart. Go ahead and love your neighbor as yourself. And in those two things, it's all fulfilled. Well, Peter heard Jesus say it, and Jesus said it, and then Peter wrote it. But Peter wasn't the only one to go ahead and write it. In 1 John chapter 3 and verse number 16, here's what the Bible teaches us. It says this, by this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Kind of amazing that Peter writes about love being so important, and he said it's above all things because Jesus said that. John heard Jesus say that, and now we see John writing the same thing in 1 John chapter 3. In 1 John chapter 3 and verse number 17, he says this, but whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? John says, we talk about love, but let's get down to living out some of that love. If we see people around us and we just shut off our hearts from them and we turn the love off, so to speak, how does the love of God abide in him? He says, my little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. He says, let's just not say we love someone, or let's just not say we love something. Let's go ahead and put a little action with that love. Let's demonstrate that love. And then he says this, and by this we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence towards God. He says, and whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Kind of amazing that John would write, I heard Jesus talk about love, and Jesus said the greatest thing that we could do is to go ahead and love God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind. And then we could go ahead and love our neighbor as ourselves. He says, and by the way, I just want you to know, when you're loving God and you're loving others, guess what? You're pleasing him. What greater way to start off our year than to say, you know what? I want to get started in loving big, because when I love big, it is pleasing to God. Well, we continue just one verse further. In verse number 23, he says, and this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. John said, we should just go ahead and do what Jesus told us to do. And Jesus told us to believe on who he is and put our faith and trust in him. And then he said, we should just go ahead and love one another. Now, I want to tell you something. When we read down through there and we read what Jesus had to say, and we read what Peter had to say, and we read what John had to say, it's all about love. And you know what? Love is a great thing. But can I just tell you something? Loving people can be what? Can be challenging, right? I mean, loving people can be challenging. Why? Because we're not perfect. We have faults and failures. We have shortcomings. We let other people down. And here's why Peter wrote what he wrote. He said, above all, there has to be a fervent love for one another. He didn't say it was easy. He just said, above all. There's a lot of things that we can reach out and bring into our life that are really easy. But Peter said, no, don't take the easy route. Make up your mind that above all, you're going to go ahead and you're going to choose to demonstrate love. John said the exact same thing. And Jesus said this. Jesus said, look, here's the first and the greatest thing that you can give your life to. It's to love God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind, and then love your neighbor as yourself. You see, the great commandment is what Jesus called us to. The great commandment is to love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And you know what Jesus said? The great commandment is going to go ahead and take a great commitment, but that great commitment is going to bring a great reward. And some of us today are looking for something more to give our life to in the year ahead. Some of us are looking for something that will make a difference. Can I tell you something? More than anything, making the choice to love big will go ahead and impact every area of your life. It's the greatest resolution that we can give ourselves to this morning. It's the greatest thing that we can set before ourselves for a new year as individuals and a church. Jesus said, you know what? I'm not calling you to little love. Some of you are unhappy in life because you have little love. You have little love for God and you have little love for others. They just go hand in hand. When a problem comes up, when a fault is shown, when a stumbling block heads your way, you just begin to go ahead and withdraw, and all you can see is the problems in all the circumstances that say, you know what, I don't want to be in this situation. I don't want to be in that relationship. I don't want to be there, or whatever it might be. Jesus calls us to a big love. Jesus calls us to a love like God has for us. A love that looks beyond our faults and failures. The kind of love that Peter wrote about when he said love covers a multitude of sins. Love is willing to go ahead and look beyond self. And we're going to talk about that in just a moment. You see, the great commandment requires a great commitment, but it brings great reward. It influences and impacts every area of your life. So today you want something worth living for in this year ahead? Listen to the words of Jesus. Listen to the words of Peter. Listen to the words of John as they begin to unfold. Because here's what they all three tell us. All three of them tell us this. The first thing it tells us is this, that love is personal. He doesn't call us to something that is just out there and might be attached to us in some way. It's not just something that we can go ahead and bring in and out of our life. It's not just something that we just straighten out and put back on a shelf. Love is not something that we just go ahead and organize and compartmentalize and then just move on. He says, no, love is personal. In verse number 16 of 1 John 3, he says, by this we know love. To know love means it's a personal love. Jesus said this, I want you to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. He's getting down to the personal level. He says, by this we know love. Do you know what John is saying? John is writing and he's saying, look, we know love because Jesus lived love. And a little bit later, he's going to tell us, others know the love of Jesus because his people live the love of Jesus. But when we begin to go ahead and think about where we're at, and we try and get an outlook for where we need to go, Jesus says, I want to call you to one thing. Peter says, it's above all things. John says, this is one thing that's going to please him and bring great reward into your life, and it's this, to love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, because love is personal. It requires something of us. You see, Jesus knew that it required a personal response. Required a personal response. When Jesus was asked, what is the greatest commandment? Jesus said, you know what? The greatest commandment is to love God. And that starts on the inside, and that's a personal choice. You know what Jesus was doing? Jesus was inviting them not to try and be better, not to try and do a set of things that would go ahead and get them into heaven. Jesus was inviting them into a personal relationship. He was inviting them into a personal relationship where they would put their faith and trust in him. And do you know how we get our year started right? Do you know how we get our life started right? Do you know how we truly make a difference and get beyond where we're at in our life right now? It's to make certain that our relationship with Christ is real. To make certain that we have that relationship with Christ, that we've invited him into our life and to be our Savior, to forgive us of our sins. You see, Jesus said love is personal, but Jesus said this, that love requires a personal sacrifice. Here's what John would say. John said, by this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. You know what he said? He said, love looks beyond ourself. Love looks beyond ourselves. He said Jesus loved us in such a way that he laid down his life for us. And he said, you know what? We ought to take a page out of his book. We ought to highlight some of the things that he did, and we should lay down our life for the brethren. Can I tell you something? The secret to you getting a better life is not for you to go ahead and get everything you want. Do you know what that leads to? That leads to a selfish, self-centered life. Jesus calls us to something more than that. And the reason we're talking about love this morning on the first Sunday of the year, and as we're talking about what we can go ahead and do with our life, the life of our church, is because as followers of Christ, we must look beyond ourselves. We must look beyond ourselves in our relationships. We must look beyond ourselves in our worship. We must look beyond ourselves in our outreach. We must look beyond our life, because if we never look beyond our life, guess what? Our life is very self-centered, and God did not create you to be self-centered. As much as it might surprise us, he did not create us for ourselves. He created us for him and to worship him and to live for him. And John said, I just want to go ahead and give you a challenge. Jesus called you to go ahead and look beyond yourself. He called you to be willing to go ahead and hold nothing back from him, to be willing to sacrifice your heart, your mind, and your soul and pour it all out before him and to say, okay, Jesus, here it is. I'm holding nothing back. But in order to start a personal love, in order for that love to be personal and to be real, it begins with a personal relationship, but it continues with you and I coming to a place where we'll say, okay, I'm willing to look beyond myself. When Peter wrote and he said, look, above all, have a fervent love. He says, love covers a multitude of sins. It wasn't just love covering your sin. Love helps you go ahead and be willing to cover others as well. You see, the love of Jesus that he displayed covered the multitude of your sin and my sin and the sin of the world. But as we begin to look at others through the eyes of Jesus and we begin to go ahead and live our life not centered on self, but we begin to look beyond ourselves, here's what happens. The love that we have and the love that we display begins to not see the sin. It begins to see the love for the individual, and it covers it. You see, love impacts every area of our life, because a real biblical love calls us to look beyond ourselves. It calls us to look beyond our needs. The question today is this: will you start looking beyond yourself? Will you start looking beyond your life? Will you start looking at how you can love others? Because John and Jesus and Peter, all three say this. They say that love is personal, but they say love is compassionate. John asks a question, and he says, look, if we just go ahead and shut off our heart, if we shut off compassion to those that are around us, those that are in need, how can the love of God dwell in us? John says, when you have the ability to love someone and you choose not to, there's a problem. When you have the ability to be compassionate and make a difference in somebody else's life, and you just say, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to waste my time. I'm not going to waste what God gave me on them. I'm not going to invest in them. John says, wow, that's a love problem between you and God. You see, compassion is different than care or concern. Compassion actually gets involved in someone else's life. Compassion takes the step to make a difference. Peter says, above all, have a fervent love, a love that's real, a love that's genuine, a love that is displayed because it covers, it does something. He says, love makes a difference. John writes and he tells us, but whoever has this world's goods, sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? He says, where there's a lack of compassion, our life is not focused on the love of God. Do you know there's people in need around you? We live in Avon, Indiana, a nice community. We live in Hendricks County in central Indiana, and a lot of great things around us. But do you know, within 15 minutes in every direction, there's 175,000 people easily in every direction we go around. We're going to go ahead and just draw that circle around us. We've got 175,000 people, and the vast majority of them need Jesus, and they need a place to worship. But in the context of that framework, within 5 miles of here, do you know that we have a shelter for abused women? And can I tell you something? It's abused women with little children, and the place is always full. Let me ask you a question. Do you think they need a little bit of compassion? Right here in our own community, we have Family Promise. Family Promise is for families that don't have a home. They don't have a place to go ahead and go to bed at night. They don't have a place to call their own. They don't have a place to rent. They don't have a place to go ahead and be able to walk into when they would like to. Do you think they might need a little bit of compassion? You see, sometimes we go ahead and we look at our life, and we get focused on what's going on in us and what's going on around us, and we never look beyond ourselves, so we don't see the need and the reason to go ahead and be compassionate. I could go on and talk about Hope Healthcare, who provides healthcare and medical needs for people that are truly in need. It's all around us. There's an opportunity to go ahead, and this year, we're going to invest in a greater way in our local community. We're still going to continue worldwide missions, and we're going to expand that, but we're going to reach deeper into our community so that we can demonstrate compassion to the people that are right here around us. Why? Because John said that's what you do with God's love. You look beyond what's going on in your life. You see the needs of other people. You see, sometimes he calls us to love big, and sometimes loving big challenges our faith. But the bottom line is this: sometimes our faith needs to be challenged. Because when our faith is challenged, it challenges our love. And when our love is challenged, it challenges our faith. Jesus said, I want you to love me with all that you are. I want you to love me with everything that you have. Because there's a big need that's around you. It's a big effort to love your neighbor as yourself. Most of us don't sit around and find all of our faults. But it's easy to find the fault of your neighbor, right? Just ask my neighbor. He's here this morning. You stop and look. It's just easy to do. To find the faults in the person next to us. Person we work with. But the reality is this: he called us to look beyond ourselves. John says love is a witness. Why is love so important? You see, love is personal, and it's something that calls you to a relationship, but it's also something that calls you to look beyond yourself. And most of our New Year's resolutions are very, very self-centered things that we want to go ahead and do to improve our life, but none of them will improve our life like improving our love life with God. It's personal, it's compassionate. It's a witness. That's what Jesus said. That's what John said. He says, my little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Why is that important? He says, let's not just go ahead and talk about love. You see, a witness tells a story. And here's what Jesus said about the story of love in John chapter 13 and verse number 35. He says, by this, all will know you are my disciples if you have love one for another. Jesus tells us that in the Gospel of John. John tells us that in his later letters. He says, remember, we need to go ahead and love in deed and in truth. Why? Because when we look at this love thing, it's tremendously important because Jesus said other people are going to notice it. It's going to be a difference maker. John says, our words are easy to speak, but our deeds and our spirit are going to reveal who we really are. Are we going to love people consistently? continually? Are we going to love people when it's a challenge? Are we going to love when they really need love? It's easy to love people when they're lovable. I mean, we just don't struggle loving people when they're lovable. But Jesus calls us to love big because there's going to be some challenges. And in order to love big, we have to go ahead and love God with all that we are so that we can go ahead and love people when they bring all that they are. Love is a witness. But here's the incredible thing about doing what Jesus says. And just remember this. When we go ahead and love other people, it's a witness. It's a reflection of our relationship with Christ. But love is rewarded. Love is rewarded. How is love rewarded? Let's just go ahead and take a look at verse number 22. He says, "And whatever we ask, we receive from him because we keep his commandments and do the things that are pleasing in his sight." When we begin to put that verse in context and just begin to go ahead and unpack it, here's what we discover. When we are loving God and doing what God has called us to do, here's the reality. Our love is rewarded with relationship. The opportunity to go ahead and communicate with him. When we get that word, we ask that phrase, it's talking about prayer. It's talking about our relationship with God. When we're talking with him, we're communicating with him, here's what happens. Our relationship with God gets stronger. As our relationship with God gets stronger, our relationships with others are going to get stronger, going to get better. The Bible tells us this, it's rewarded with answered prayers. John says when we're loving other people, like we need to love, and we're demonstrating that love, here's what's going to happen. We're going to go ahead and see a difference in our prayer life. You ever stop to think that maybe sometimes our communication with God is hindered because our love with other people isn't happening like it needs to happen? We can go ahead and we can ask God for a lot of things and we can talk to God, but our prayers are not having the impact that they could have because our heart is not completely given to him. We're not loving God with all that we are. We're loving God for what he can do for us. We're loving God for what he can give us. But Jesus calls us to a different kind of love, and he just says, look, no matter what you're getting, no matter what you're receiving, here's what I would love for you to do. I would encourage you, I would command you, I would instruct you to go ahead and love me with all that you are, your heart, your soul, your mind. Then you can love others around you. John says when we do that, our life is rewarded. Well, here's the reality. He says this, when we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. He says our life is challenged and changed when we go ahead and love, because when we love, that love is going to be rewarded, and it's going to be rewarded by pleasing him. Some of us are at a point in our life right now where we're focused on pleasing ourselves coming into a new year. And there's nothing wrong with setting some goals, and there's nothing wrong with making a list, and there's nothing wrong with trying to get things in order, and there's nothing wrong with setting something out there in front of you and going after it. But according to what God's word says, according to what Peter wrote, according to what Jesus himself said, according to what John recorded, they said, you know what, if you want to go after something that's personal, if you want to go after something that's going to make a difference, if you want to go after something that will change your life, then make the choice to love big. We need to love big. Love God with all that we are. Hold nothing back so that we can love people as they are and be compassionate and be a witness, and our love will be rewarded. Our love will be rewarded with a better life. Our love will be rewarded with a stronger relationship with Jesus. Our love will be rewarded because love is what's going to make a difference. So today, you have the power to make a choice. You can choose to start that personal relationship with Christ. You can choose to start loving big and to say, I'm going to hold nothing back from God. I'm going to love him with everything that I am. That means I'm going to trust him with every area of my life. No more compartmentalizing. No more saying, I'll give God a little bit of my time on a Sunday if it works out. This is an opportunity to say, God, I'm going to love you with all that I am because you love me with all that I am. And I'm going to go ahead and love you that way so that I can love others that way. So that I can make a difference in your kingdom. So that I can make a difference in the community in which you've placed me. Love, it's personal. It's compassionate. It is a witness. And it is rewarded. Would you pray with me? Father, we come to you today. Lord, as we prepare to move into an invitation time, I ask you to speak to our hearts. I ask you to help us to think about your word, to think about where we are with loving you, to think about where we are with loving others. Father, I pray that as we begin to respond to you in just a moment, that you'll help us to respond to you. For it's in Christ's name. With heads bowed and eyes closed, no one looking around, in just a moment, we're going to have a time of invitation. Today, maybe you don't know Christ. Maybe you've never had that personal relationship. Maybe you've never invited him to forgive you of your sins and to be your Savior, but you would like to know more about that today. If that's you, in just a moment when we stand together and sing, you can just leave your place, leave your seat. You can just come right here to the front and someone will take the Bible and show you how you can know for certain that Jesus is your Savior. Maybe you know Jesus as your Savior, but today you would like to come and just pray and say, Lord, I want you to help me to start. I want you to help me to make the choice to start loving you today with all that I am. To be compassionate, to be the witness to those that are around me that I'm your follower and that I'm living for you. To strengthen my relationship with you. Maybe you've got something else you want to come and pray about as we're early in the year and you've got some things before you and you just say, Lord, this is what I would like for this year, this season of my life. Whatever it might be, if God speaks to your heart, just step out and come. Would you stand with me, please, as the band leads us? If you know the words, I encourage you to sing along. But most importantly, if God speaks to your heart, I just encourage you to come and respond to him.